Hey guys, all right, well, I'm here and this is it and we're on. Praise the Lord. I've been looking forward to this and been praying and wanting to be a blessing, wanting to be, I got something for you. That was just some extra for somebody walk in late. They can grab it right back there. Wanting to be a blessing, want to be used by the Lord to accomplish what he want to accomplish here at Open Door Baptist Bible. That's right. This is Bible-believing church right here. This church is built off the Bible. It's a lot of churches doing a lot of different things now. And, you know, if I remember correctly, when we left the convention, independent, we left the convention, we wanted the Bible to be the sole authority, if it were the final authority for our faith and practice. And we didn't want any hierarchy. We didn't want anybody telling us what to do and come in and say, you got to change this and you got to change that. We wanted that person to be God. And so I'm just excited about what the Lord is doing here in the area and your pastor and just how, you know, God has used him over the years. And just a picture of really longevity under pressure. You know, a lot of people have some longevity, but not under pressure. You know, there's a lot of morning glories out there, you know. Start out good in the morning, but that's it. By noon, man, where they go? Take off for lunch and never come back. But that happens. Pastor Myron mentioned about kind of picking up here or pick up there or whatever. God just placed it in my heart and pressed upon my heart. And I didn't think about this coming in, and when you said that, the thought came back to me right there. When I came on staff at Lighthouse Baptist Church, before that, I wanted to be an added value to somebody's life, to a ministry, I just wanted to be an added value, you know, and just open, open, whatever, however the Lord wants to use me to be an added value to someone. And so when I got there, I came in and I didn't announce that I was a preacher. I didn't announce any of that. You know, I was a member. I mean, I became a member of the church. And matter of fact, I was at a church where, you know, I'm a preacher. I didn't get to preach. I didn't get to teach. I'm a certified executive chef, four different nationalities, from French to Italian and then Hunan, just Hunan in that area, but and just Cajun and different things. And like, I didn't get to cook nothing. I just didn't get to do anything. You know, I wanted to, but I just didn't. And so I visited Lighthouse Baptist Church, and I saw that, man, they had things you could do. And they was willing to allow you to do something. And that caught me. And God led me to go there in that area just to get involved and to be an added value to the ministry and not looking to get anything, just to give. And that's different from how I was when I was lost. And that's different from how I was when I got saved, because I was talking to Ron. You know, I didn't really compare the two and say, okay, oh, God saved me from this. You know, it's a, must be something wrong with it. He saved me from it. You know what I mean? Took me from it. And he died to get me away from it and rose again. And not at first, but along the way, I came to that place where, hey, this, it needs to be a choice here. Either I'm for God or I'm not. You know what I mean? I'm all God or not, you know? And so, of course, people see when you love the Lord that much that you're willing to serve him. But there I am now. I'm still there at Lighthouse. And God is doing a great job. God's doing a great job, you know, because before, I mean, the only reason why anybody was in my life, it was because something they could do for me. I mean, you know, I don't stand up here proudly saying that, you know, but, you know, I'm just saying it. You know, it was about me, myself, and I. You know, what can you do for me? That's just the way it was, you know. And it's good. It feels so good, you know. It's so much rest on your mind to not be concerned about self. I mean, it takes so much energy to be concerned about self. It really does, guys. And it just feels good. And, you know, all the glory and credit goes to God, you know. But it's a good place to be, a place of contentment. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and ask Ron, could you kind of pass these out to the guys there? And whatever's left over, you can give it to Pastor back there. He'll set it in the pile back there. And we'll go ahead and get into this. And, guys, I had so much come across my mind I wanted to share with you. One of the things I do is I go around and I do leadership conferences and organize conferences and bring in pastors like David Gibbs or Shemesh or Pastor Fisher. I bring those guys in and do meetings pretty much around the world a little bit there quietly, Pastor, quietly. Now, go, you know, like Jesus said, go thy way and tell no man, and just kind of quietly, one of those things, not putting it in the sword of the Lord, not putting it out there like that. And so, you know, a lot of things came across my mind to talk to you guys about, but I had to push that away and say, God, what do you want them to have? What do you want them to hear? What's for them? What's for Open Door Baptist Church? What do they need? Where, you know where they are. You know what's going on. You know those men. You know their wives. You know their children. You know their lives. You know their jobs. You know what they're up against and what they're dealing with. You know the position of the church. You know what's transpired in the church and where the church is right now. What do they need, Father? Oh, God. And I just cried out to God, man. I'm telling y'all. I really preach. It's just, oh, you know. And then I got a lot of stuff I can go through and just pull out something. But, you know, God's not in it. Why pull it out? Yeah, God might have been on that. His glory and power could have been on that message at a particular time, but the timing of a message and the timing of a lesson is just as important as the message or the lesson itself. And this is what God just put right there, put right out. And, you know, I couldn't turn away from this. And so we'll get right into it. And I think we'll be able to move through it easily with a nice flow. And we can get to a nice meal and fellowship a little bit and then come back and get something that this will tie into, I believe. And so let's jump right in it. And we've prayed and we'll read that first verse and we'll pray some more. Okay. Proverbs 22, I put everything out for you there. I might ask you to turn to something in your Bible, but I tried to put it all out there on the paper so we can kind of move through. And at the same time, you have the references. You don't have to be trying to keep up. What did he say? Trying to get the notes. And you just have it all right there with you. And you can take it away. You can use it in a little family altar, a little, you know, study or something or whatever you choose to use it for. Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Heavenly Father, we do thank you first and foremost for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Wasn't for him, none of us would be sitting here today. This church would not be established. Pastor would never have been called into the ministry and called to come to this area where very few can even stand on their feet in this area for 2 years or 3 years is unthinkable. And you're doing a great, mighty work, and you're using us, and we're seeing souls saved and lives change. And God, we just thank you. We thank you. And Father, we're here tonight as men. And as men, Father, we want to be men. We really want to be men. And God, we need you. We can't do it ourselves. We cannot be godly men ourselves, within ourselves, within our own sufficiency. Lord, we definitely cannot be godly men with influence without you. And so I pray, Lord, you help us as we look at this topic on influence. And you minister to these men. And at the same time, you just minister to me as well again. Help us all, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Boy, that needs to be, I mean, that just Christians, we just need to get that as Christians. And then we can keep, you know, the main thing, and we can keep things right and not get caught up in the greed and covetousness if we can just, you know, a good name. I mean, we got a good name, Christ. We're Christian. We name after Jesus Christ. I mean, we got a good name, but the text here is speaking of having a good testimony, having a good standing in the community, in the church, a good name at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, some people, one of the things I deal with a lot is like load bearing, and that's something I thought of bringing to you guys, but maybe sometime. But load bearing deal with, you know, distributing the load throughout the church, and you know, it's difficult to, and maybe we'll get into that a little bit when we get into the next lesson. But we need a good testimony. I mean, somebody need to look at us and say, that's a godly man. I mean, it'd be nice if we can look at ourselves and say, God has made me a godly man. Man, thank you, God. I'm a godly man now. I mean, with a teardrop in our eyes. I mean, crying like, man, I don't deserve to be godly now. You made me godly, God. I'm not saying proudly, you know, and boastfully, you know, I'm godly, because if that's the case, then we're not. And so this good name is very, very important. And loving favor rather than silver and gold. You know, a good name can get you what gold cannot get you. In some places, it doesn't matter how much money you got, you can't get in there. You couldn't buy your way in, like heaven. Amen. Or become one of God's children. But there's places that I'm familiar with in the government, working in the government and things, where you just can't get in because of money. This place in California, it's a name that gets you in. And a loving favor, God giving you favor, God going before you in a job interview and giving you favor before you even get there. And so when you get there, you know it's not your posture and you answering all the questions and, you know, it wasn't you, you know, it was God. You know, because of favor. And I think we'll see some of that favor as we get into the next lesson. But there's two types of influences in this verse. Number one, the positional influence. I mean, riches give you influence. I mean, you got money. The Bible talks about rich people have friends and the poor man don't have no friends and lack, you know what I mean? So riches give people influence. But then there's the personal influence that comes from a good name. And, you know, Chris Chaney? Oh, not a problem. Friend of Chris Chaney, friend of mine. You ever hear anybody say something like that? Oh, if you're a friend of so-and-so, oh, man, if you know, that's favor. That's a good name. Used to be a time if you're a Christian, oh, that's good. Come on in. Yeah, you're a Christian. People that done ran across so many people saying they're Christians that's not Christian. You know? And it's just, they don't trust no Christian. Christians don't have a good name. The Christians cheating on the time clock. The guy that's walking around there with Jesus on his shirt or the back of his shirt in John 3:16 is cheating on the time clock. And we need to be, if you would, of integrity. And I thought about that as a topic today, integrity. Godly men has to, we have to have integrity. People have to trust us. You know, that's important to be trusted. Our children need to trust us. You know, our spouses need to trust us. The pastor here needs to be able to trust you men. You know, and that's big to God. You know, God proved men over and over and over again. You just go through the Bible. He proved them, man. He'll prove them. You know, Abraham, do the lad no harm. Now I know. mean, God's going to prove you. I mean, he's in that. He's in the proving business. Okay. And so, but one thing we need to understand, there's a positive. Our influence can be positive or negative, but there's some kind of influence. Some kind of way we're influencing somebody in our lives. Doesn't matter if you're a teenager, you a junior, you're influencing somebody one way or the other. You're talking about being on a team, playing sports. If you're on a team, somebody's influencing you, and you're influencing somebody some kind of way, whether it's negative or positive. But we're talking about gaining godly influence. That would be the title of the lesson, gaining godly influence. So let me say this. It's not on your paper. God gives us favor. See, you don't just go out and, you know, if you go out and try to get your own favor, that's like getting your own glory. That's vain. See, God gives us favor. So you know what that means, man? We need to be doing this. Oh, God, give me favor. Give me favor with my wife. And we're trying to, you know, the Bible says you're supposed to be submissive and you're not submissive. And oh, God, give me favor with her. Just turn that prayer a little bit over there. Give me favor with her so I can have influence with this woman. And so God gives us favor. Watch it now. It's not on your paper. As we follow God's word. Amen. And God's spirit. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hard to follow someone you're not sensitive to. You couldn't recognize it. Was that the flesh, or was that me? Was that the devil? Or was that the flesh? Or was that who me? Who said that? Where'd that thought come from? I need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I want to obey the word, and I got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to even get anything out of that word or to get what God wants me to get, because the Holy Spirit wrote the word. The Holy Spirit knows the word inside out. He wrote it.
Amen.
And so here's, guys, what we need to do. Holy Spirit, God, I need to listen. What does that mean? God, what is that saying? What are you trying to tell me here? What's the picture here? And listen, pause and listen, and allow the Holy Spirit of God to tell you something. And this is nothing. Don't get spooky on me. This is not spooky. This is being sensitive to the leading, hearing the still small voice, Elijah. Okay, I'm going to keep this Bible all the way through because I don't, you know, I mean, you might hear something you never heard, but you remember Elijah, right? Hearing that still small, we got to be sensitive to the voice of God. Now, this is not on your paper. Godly favor. So God gives us godly favor so we can have a good name. Why do you want us to have a good name? So he can get the glory. Watch it. See? He's not giving me favor for me to look good. See, he's not letting me make that interception for me to look good and go dance in the end zone. Because, see, if I really play it back in my mind, it's like, how in the world did I get to that ball? I should have never got to that. You follow? God does it. It's like he's making you look good. Maybe for the benefits of those around us, influence, for him to get the glory and the praise, meaning credit for it. So when we go in and get that job, it's not like this, guys. Look up here. Look what I did. Look what I got me, church. It's like, look what God did. God did this. That's the testimony, Pastor. God did this. Amen. And then somebody sitting out there is going through something, and they're thinking, they're at their wit's end. They're thinking, man, my faith is so small. I don't know if God can do anything for me. And then they hear that testimony, what God did. Because if they hear that Chris Cheney did it, they might go, well, that's Chris Cheney. I'm not good like him. And I'm not. But that's how they see it. You know, if I had what he had, yes, I could. I don't have those abilities. I don't have his speed, his quickness. I can't close the gap like him. But when we say God did it, everybody can identify. Everybody can connect to God. Now, we just gave influence. But really, it wasn't us. It was God influencing somebody through us. Y'all getting it? You feel me a little bit here? Amen. I'm taking it slow. I don't know if we get through that paper. Don't matter. As long as God get to us and get through us. Amen. Amen? All right. Okay. So letter C leads us right into that. The Holy Spirit should be the person doing the influencing in our life. In our lives, it should be the Holy Spirit of God doing, and I need to know, God gave me that thought. God led me to do that good thing. God put it in my heart to want to be of value. Because it's God which worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Is that right? I think that's somewhere in Philippians, maybe chapter 2, verse 13, somewhere around there. 213, but it's right there. And so we gotta realize that it's God trying to give Ron some favor through me. It's not me. Joseph. It's not in me. No, it's not in me to tell the dream. It's just not in me. God should give you the dream. God should give you the interpretation. Always pointing back to God. Hear that, Timothy? Always pointing back to God. Now, as we move on, it says, then we can be a godly influence to others. And so the key here is the Bible says, not by might nor by power, but by my what? Says the Lord of hosts. So that takes all the self-righteousness out of it. Galatians 5, verse 18. But if ye be led, that's some leading going on there, leaders. Led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. You know, we're really not the leaders. We're more managers. Managing what God increases. Managing what God, you know, Moses really was the manager. I know we say, oh, he was the greatest leader in the Old Testament. Well, God speaks of him as more of a manager. But we want to lead something. No, just be careful. Just be careful. That's all I'm saying. Be careful. Roman number 2. The more we allow God to influence us, the more God can influence others through us. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. He's saying, I'm following Christ. And if you're following me, you're really not following me. You're following Christ. That's different from saying, come on, Tim, I want you to follow me, man. I'm going to teach you the ropes. It's different than saying, Tim, you know, man, I'm doing my very best to the best of my ability, best of my understanding. This is the will of God. I mean, God is pressed upon my heart, and I'm just trying to follow the Lord. And I believe this is what the Lord wants us to do deep down in my heart. God put this in my heart, and I'm just following the Lord on this thing. And I'm asking you to get in there with me, man. Let's follow the Lord on this thing. That's a different approach. Everybody listening? Amen. That's a different spirit. follow me. Letter A. Therefore, I need to be humble. I need to humble myself before God. If you would, in the sight of man. See, it's before God, so it's in God's sight. But as I humble myself in the sight of God, men are watching. That's what I'm saying there. So that Christ can use my yielded life to divinely influence others. Everybody understand that? See, it's not about me. It's about him that can do exceeding abundantly above some, all I can ask or think. Listen, I can't even think enough. I mean, I can't even think. Look, don't follow me because I really can't think. And I really don't know what to ask for you in this situation. But let's follow God on this thing. Just hang with me a little bit and God's gonna do more than we can imagine. Then you go get with God. You go cry out to God. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great, great, great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Everybody's all right? It ties into prayer. So I need to be more concerned about being yielded so that the manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God can be revealed to others. And then others will be influenced not by me, but by the manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God. What do you mean? Well, in Galatians 5:22-23, it says, the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Oh, you mean it's not my faith? I've been asking for more faith. No, the fruit, the outcome. Put an apple tree here, what's the outcome? Orange tree, what's the outcome? It's not Chris's fruit. It's not Chris' faith. Watch it. We're trying to get faith before we got the other stuff. What do you mean? The outcome of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is love. When you and I express love, notice I said express what's there, exceeding abundant above. We can ask a thing. Stay with me now. When we yield to the Holy Spirit of God, God's love comes out. And loved him more than we could ask or think. Love your wife more than you can ever imagine. Do you at least understand? I can make a believer out of you with the word of God. But if you understand, we can move forward. You're trying to love her. You keep falling short. Because it's not your love that never fails. It's love, charity that never fails, and God is love. Amen. And when we men can express that love, then we men will experience joy. Love, joy. Oh, here's joy. Amen. Then we men can exhibit peace. Can't have peace without joy. Can't have joy without love. You feel me? Domino effect. Some of you never even thought like this before. When you become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you think different. Because the Holy Spirit, watch it, is in the inner man. The Holy Spirit come in, and your spirit, little s spirit, bears witness with his spirit, bears witness with our spirit. So our little s spirit, the disposition of our mind, more of attitude, consciousness, disposition of mind, Holy Spirit of God convinces my spirit. So now I got a good attitude about this thing where I can be a godly influence. Now my attitude is different about church. My attitude is different about praying. My attitude is different about reading the Bible. My attitude is different about soul winning. My attitude is different. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God has convinced me in my spirit. Just like he did that I'm a child of God. Y'all with me? What are you thinking now? So I can get you shouting. But God said they need to think. I don't need to hit that out. You need to think. You need to think about him. Think about the word. Let him establish thoughts. Galatians, Proverbs 16, 2 or 3. Commit thy works, the efforts, energy to the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. See, our problem is we think too much. We'll think our way right out of the will of God. Oh, yeah. You got to understand, I'm analytically inclined. I'm a thinker. Matter of fact, let me tell you what I think. So we need to learn how to be yielded to the Holy Spirit of God so he can give us a thought. And we need to become sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God enough that we know it's his thought. Then we'll deal with the submitting part. Okay? Let's get sensitive first. Kind of hard to submit to something you don't even know or understand. Really difficult. That makes sense, Tim? Kind of hard. How can you obey instructions that you don't understand? Well, here's the instruction to put the bike together or to fix the brakes. You don't understand it. How can you obey it? So, I don't know what, we're just letting it flow here a little bit. How can I have influence in somebody's life, godly influence, if I'm not yielded to God? I got to be yielded. You know what yield means? It's like they probably wouldn't have had an accident if somebody yielded. Yield means this. To give way. It's like somebody else coming in. You're riding down the road and this car is coming in supposed to yield. But right about here, he's looking like, I got him. I ain't getting him. Let me step on. I got that. And step on it. No, you're supposed to yield. No, I got it. No yield. Sign said yield. No, I got it. I got yield. Got it. No. God's saying yield, yield, yield. I got it. I got it, God. I got it. I got it. He's saying, just yield. See, when you yield, you give way. And when we give way to self, that's where the humbling, if we're prideful, when we're prideful, arrogant, and not obnoxious, but just arrogant and haughty, like lifted up, it's like we cannot be a godly influence. We cannot be a good influence. You know why? Because I'm up here. You're down there. And people see it. You know what they say? You know what the children say? You know what the wives say? You know what the church members say? You know what the ministry workers say? You know what people say at the door in soul winning? They see it. They don't see God at the door. They don't see a yielded man at the door. They see somebody that know a lot about God. Like when I got ordained as a pastor, I knew a lot about God. And I sit there, and they didn't know me in North Carolina. They just knew the pastor that had a name that recommended me. But they wasn't signing that on the nation till they drilled me for 2 hours. And I knew enough about God to answer their questions. Almost all of them. But you know how those preachers, if they get together, man, they throw something at you to try to, you know, even when you, you know, yeah, let's bring them down a little bit. But you know what the problem was, guys? I didn't know God. What do you mean? He knew me. I was saved. But I read for information. Information to preach, information to teach, information to go on a job and tell this guy off I know I'm going to run into, information for my doctrine battles, but I didn't read for transformation. There's a difference. Most books are written for information. The Bible is written for transformation.
Amen.
Anyway. I want to be a godly influence. And to be a godly influence, I need to just simply humble myself. Then God can influence somebody through me. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. James 4:10. Because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And we know that. You go over to 1 Peter 5, pull that up. Now, let's look at a couple illustrations. I'll move on through. I just wanted to get you thinking before we start running. Numbers chapter 11, verse 24 is a good place to look at. Moses went out and told the people the word of the Lord and gathered the 70 men of the elders and of the people and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Well, what we have here is a picture of Moses going to God crying out, I can't do this. These people, why are you giving me these people? Did I birth them? Did I born them? I mean, man, God said, okay, just get 70 of the elders. Bring them out. And God took his spirit and put on them. And then it says in letter B, in the process of time, God would transfer the yielded leader's spirit to second and third tier leadership. Now, influence is power. I don't know if I had that in your notes for you. Might have did and jumped right past it. No, I didn't give you the definition of it, did I? Well, it's power. It's the power that one has on, if you would, the mind, will, and emotion of a person that moves them. Influence move people. And God, it takes time. It takes time for your children. It takes time for in your marriage. It takes time as a pastor working with people, as a teacher with students. It's in the process of time. And see, some people want it right away. They want it. But it's the process of time. But what you want to do is you want to make sure you got the right spirit. Your heart is right. And then you want to pray that God take that heart and that spirit and put it on your children. As a leader, and as I said, more of a manager, but there's a difference between leader and manager, and we'll get into that. You probably don't pay. I'm always looking for a good attitude. When I was a chef, and when I own a French pastry shop, it's called Sweets Unlimited. When I interview people, normally you had to have a degree, at least a 2-year degree, to be a sous chef for me. But that was just some people. They just had a good attitude, man. in that interview, you know what I'm saying? You remember Daniel? The king thought to put him over the whole realm. Why? Because the excellent spirit was found in him. Go read that sometime. It's a good read. So I'm sitting here with this guy. They don't have the qualification, but they got an excellent spirit. And I know that's contagious. Just like a bad spirit is contagious. And I hired this guy. Why? Because he's going to help everybody with that spirit. So I want to make sure I got a good spirit. Most of the time, preacher, that's more important than a sound man messing up. I don't care, let him mess up. I don't care if they forget this, forget a song leader, forget a standard. No matter to me. They forgot to put something in the bulletin, so what? As long as there's an excellent spirit in the place. Because that's when God shows up. So, to be a good influence, a godly influence, you need to have an excellent spirit. Like Daniel. He was able to influence Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know those three? Yeah. Because he had excellent spirit. So I don't know where we are, but Roman number 3, maybe. Look at my time. Yeah, I got to stop here. Let me give y'all these. I'm filling these blanks, man. I'm sorry. I'm warming up, I guess, for the next one. People are led from the front, but are driven from the rear. If you're going to be a leader, you need to be out front. Can't lead from the back. Oh, honey, y'all going to church. Get up, kids, go to church. You can't lead from the back. You can only drive people. It's a different how they lead. I went to Israel, spent a good trip. Me and my daughter, my oldest daughter, I've told you about Tiffany. We went, and matter of fact, she took me. A surprise, you know, set it up, organize it. And, boy, it was one of the best times I had. The Bible really, really came alive. And then being in Europe, you know, how they lead sheep down in Israel. Over in different parts of Europe and different parts of Ireland, they drive the sheep. It's different. I watched them. I watched a shepherd take 2 steps and stand there for like 5 minutes. The sheep would just come up a couple steps. Take another couple steps. Stop. Sheep just come up and stop. And I said, man, I watched this guy, man, all the way going. Patience, time, out front. See, we hasty in this time and day. I mean, we got electronic in my computer. If they can come up, the computer can get fast. I mean, we want everything fast. Microwave fast. God hasn't changed. He does it in his timing. Amen. Just stay under the cloud. And when the cloud move, you move. Just as simple as that. No stress, no anxiety, no depression. You get out there on your own, you're going to run into a whole bunch of mess. Somebody can say, oh me, oh my, on that one, or amen, or something. But Charles Spurgeon said, many will be, this is not on your paper, many will be led who will not be driven. Many will be led who will not be driven. And I found that out, and I've driven a lot of people out of the ministry. Military, E8, I was a command enlisted advisor for 4 full birds. Anybody ever been in the military? You know who the full bird is, right? That's right. Right. Senior enlisted advisor, chief of the boat. This ain't the military. I mean, we're militant, but I'm saying this is not the military. You'll drive somebody right out. You'll drive your wife right out of the marriage. You drive your children right out of their home. I see it all the time. Many will be led who will not be driven. it mean they're going to rebel, they simply rebel, and we can just stand them up, oh, they rebel, they ain't right with God, but, or did we drive them to rebellions? We just got to ask ourselves those questions. I've done it. I'm ashamed of it. I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want it to happen anymore. I want to be a good influence. I want to influence this moving people, but I moved them right out of the ministry. That's a good quote by Spurgeon. Now, you can only lead as far as you have come. That's not on your paper. You might want to write it down. You can only leave as far as you have come. If you're out front, you're a Marine. Army guy, you know. Letter A, we, fathers, husbands, teachers, preachers, ministry leaders, mentor, pastor, have to be out front if we desire to influence others. And I know your pastor's out front. Nobody here, everybody know that your pastor out front. I just talking to him, meeting with him, I know he's that kind of man. That's what you want. So a lot of pastors not out front. I'm telling you, I go all around. I work with a lot of pastors. They come to our church, work with staff. I'm telling you, every pastor not out there knocking doors. Every pastor's not, they just saying, go do it. They get up here and preach it and don't do it themselves. I'm just telling you, it's not, and I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying, you got the real deal. You got a man of God. Now, let me say this. It's not on your paper. Influence is the power on one's mind, will, or emotion that moves, leads, or directs them. Roman number 5. Our position as leader requires both influence and managing people. This is not on your paper. Some people will not be led. Notice it's different now. I said many will be. But some will not even be led. But watch it. But they will be managed. What are you saying? Don't try to lead everybody. Moses couldn't. Some of them wouldn't be, they wouldn't be led. So Moses had to manage them until God decided what he wanted to do with them. You listening, preacher? Some you just got to manage. Influence is not management. It's leadership. Y'all see that letter A? Think on that. I just want to leave here today for y'all thinking, so tomorrow we get into it. Think on that. Influence is not management. Influence is not management. It's leadership. Watch it. Letter B. Leadership is about influencing people while management focuses on maintaining system and processes. The biggest mistake I see most pastors make, and the biggest mistake we have to correct, is that we take managers and make leaders out of them. They can't influence people. They can't move people in the direction of the spirit or the heart, the pastor that's following God's leading. They're more of a manager. So what I do is set up systems that somebody can manage. But I don't try to make a leader out of them. Sometimes with your children, you can ask them to lead when they're not leaders. You can say, well, they're 13 now. They can take care of Junior. They can keep this one. They can do that. And they're not really leaders yet. And we ask them to lead when they're just managers. Y'all listening? There's a mess going to follow. Something's going to happen. Just think on that a little bit. We'll move on through. Let us see. Being put in charge, or if you would, place out front, is not the same as being a leader. Amen. Letter D. It's not the position that make the leader. It's the leader's ability to influence that gets them the position or make them a position. I make positions for a leader. I see a leader, I'm making a position for that leader. That person's ability to influence people moves me. He just moved me. She just moved me to make a position for them. You follow? Mm-hmm. Now, when in momentum, yeah, I want to jump in there so fast, but yeah, let's run on through this so we can get y'all out of here. We can go get something to eat here. Bacon smells so good back there. Somebody knew what they were doing. Okay, I smell you. So bullet. When I'm out front, watch it. This is a bullet. It's not on your paper, but listen. When I'm out front with no one following me, I'm not a leader. Mm-hmm. I'm just taking a walk.
Amen.
It's a lot of people just taking a walk. In their marriage, in their parenting, they're just taking a walk. Leaders have people intentionally, Roman number 5, following them. Did y'all get that? Intentionally. I cut back on the next one. Y'all need to get this. Intentionally following them. Who's intentionally following you? Your wife should intentionally follow you.
Amen.
Our children should intentionally follow you. Not mandated. We got 1 Samuel 22. We'll just read through. I'm not going to do no setting up. 1 Samuel 22, no backdrops. Verse 1 and 2. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. No, he's running from Saul, right? And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they what? They went down tittle to him intentionally. And everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Now, we know he built that 400 to 1.5 million. That's what influence does. He got people around him. He did things by courses. David didn't do it all himself. He set up courses so people wouldn't be overloaded. We might talk about that a little bit in momentum after we eat. It's a lot to say, guys. Just too much. Letter A. People will intentionally come behind us and follow us when we, watch it, intentionally value them and demonstrate that we care in such a way that they know it. That's why people follow Jesus. Now, this is not on your paper, but it's a little note I wrote. When people, children, wives, students, church members, know we value them and care about them, then they will allow us to add value to their lives. Remember I said I wanted to be an added value? Mm-hmm. I got to win them first. If I don't win them, I'm not going to add no value to their life. They're not going to allow me. Talk about influence now. You get on that football field, you playing football, you gotta win them. You gotta win them. You gotta let them know you care. I remember Emmitt Smith. He used to buy the linemen's filet mignon, man. He'd take them down to the meat cutting place and buy them cases of filet mignon. Cause he wanted them making that hole for him. If they don't make that hole, Emmitt not going nowhere. Some of y'all remember Emmitt Smith, right? It's a wise thing to do. Man, he care about us. This guy care about us. 1 Samuel 10:6, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man, this is King Saul. And let it be, when these signs come unto thee, that thou do as occasion observe thee, for God is with thee. Verse 9, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. Verse 25b, and Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah. And there went with him, watch it, a band of men whose heart God has touched. God had touched their hearts. 1 Samuel 16:13. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. That's David. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul.
And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubles him. People are seeing. Saul became a bad spirit influence after that. 18 verse 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And so all I'm saying is people saw David behave himself wisely. They saw David deal with Saul, deal with pressure, deal with trouble. So they had no problems intentionally following him. Get to number one. We'll close it down here. People will follow a person, a personal relationship more than a pet rule. Y'all see that? Yep. Now, here's the problem. Military man. Standard operating procedure. I know rules. I set the rules up. And you don't see me no more than somebody break the rule. Now, that's not a good military leader. I'm just saying. But if you got too much you're doing, when they break the rule, oh, here come dad. Only time dad come in and spend time with us when we break the rule. Mm-hmm. He don't come in just for a relationship. He only comes when the rules are broken. Oh, you know what? I need to get more dad attention. Let me break some more rules. Sort of like Absalom. Let's go burn Joab's field. Get some attention that way. Relationship. God did not just save us to keep us from hell. God's primary reason saving us wasn't to get us to heaven. His primary reason for saving us was to reconcile us back into a relationship. God is about relationship. It's one thing to say you die today, you think you go to heaven. It's another thing, you know, yeah, but that's not going to fix my marriage problem I'm having right now. Oh, you need Jesus. You need a personal relationship with Jesus. Oh, God can feed. We need to get more into relationships. Because God's about relationships. Anyway. But the rules. We big on rules. And set up a whole bunch of rules. Let me tell you this. Relationships. Looking up. Rules without relationships cause rebellion. Rules without relationships cause rebellion. They will rebel. Close it off here now. Got one through number two. People will follow us when we invest time, tears, and teaching. People will follow us when we edify, encourage, exhort, and embrace them. Number four. People will follow us when we help them become who they were made to be, not who we want them to be. That's all up. That's enough for now. We'll come back and fill that other one out later. Thank you. That's enough.